Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Tell Anyone podcast, a podcast where every Tuesday I yap about something new and I share my biggest secrets and hottest takes with you all. And today we're talking about something everybody loves, money. I'm just kidding. Of course, in this never-ending capitalistic society, it seems we all want more and more and more money. But let's not forget, money is meant to be a resource that we can use to put a roof over our heads or to buy a shiny new toy that we've been wanting. But at the end of the day, it should still be a resource, something we use and control and not something that controls us. So let's get into my personal financial path, which social media platforms make you the most money, many of the questions you guys sent me, like how much do sponsors pay, you know, what's the breakdown of how you make your money, etc. Frankly, this topic is massive. I could have talked about it for like 5 hours, and there's so many different questions, but I will try to keep it brief, and if it warrants a part two, we will do a part two. Let's start off by talking about my financial path, social media, how I got my start, etc. And before we begin, do you guys know that nowadays at least 30% of kids, when asked what they want to be when they're older, say that they want to be an influencer? I'm not going to lie, I actually thought it would be more than 30. I feel like this has been a trend for a really, really long time. For those who might not know, my mom teaches at an elementary school. And I visited a few years back, and all of the kids who came up to me, it seemed they all were rabid for YouTubers, influencers, the whole idea of having followers on social media and making money on social media. 30%, I thought it would be at least 50. Shout out to all the people who still want to be vets or engineers or doctors, because the cold hard truth is not only that most of y'all are not going to grow up to be influencers or YouTubers or content creators, but frankly, most people aren't built for it. And that is not to say that content creators or influencers are like built better or built different. No. My point is just so many people want to fit into this mold and they want the byproduct of influencing and being a content creator. But you can't get the byproduct without doing the thing. It's like if you want a hot body, but you don't want to go to the gym. You gotta like going to the gym to look like the guy who goes to the gym all the time. You know what I mean? And it's okay not to be an influencer content creator type, because I recognize I can be annoying. I talk all the fucking time. I like attention. I'm a yap, 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 blah, blah, blah. I actually do love these things about myself though. But, you know, retroactively, I realize this is why I've become who I am and why I was able to make content for so long, because I'm a more extroverted person. So just prefacing all of this by saying, if you are listening to this thinking, oh my God, she's going to give me the secret on how to do the thing, you don't need to force yourself to do the thing. And frankly, if your goal is money, there are easier ways. And if your goal is fame, there are probably also easier ways. You should make content or be an influencer if you like doing that stuff. And I can help you with that. All right. Back to what I was saying. The idea of making money online as a content creator or influencer, I feel like people find it so enticing. And I think a big reason why is because there's so much secrecy around it all. A lot of content creators, people you see online, they look like they got money. They have the Louis V bags, they're riding on private planes, yada, yada. But where does that money come from? Do they really have that much money? You can't get these kinds of answers from a single Instagram post, so it leaves everybody wondering. There's this sense of intrigue and excitement. The reality is not as great as it seems, to be honest. And this is one of the reasons why I really, really appreciate financial transparency in this industry. And frankly, it's very rare. People either try to boast about their money or how much they have, but they're not ever actually going to tell you how much they have or how they've made it or really any of that. I really like this one content creator. Her name is Kat Liente. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. She's a content creator. She streams a bit and she breaks down how much money she makes like every month and from every single revenue source. And I think that kind of thing is so helpful for up and coming creators or even just people who are just curious. I just want to know. And I've always wanted to be more transparent. I hope talking in this episode will give you some perspective. And if I can feel more and more comfortable being more and more honest, that would be great too. So let me talk about my financial history. For starters, I am an immigrant, and that is something I am very proud of. And I typically say this because sometimes people just expect that I just come from money. If I have money, I just came from money. Not girly pop, I worked for this shit. Busted my whole ass, the whole thing. The whole thing is busted. But this is also to say, like, you know, my family didn't pay for everything, but they worked damn hard to make sure I was taken care of. But I had college debt, like most other folks, and I'm very lucky to be financially stable now. I started streaming my senior year of high school, like halfway through, very casually. And I streamed throughout my 2 years of university when I studied chemical engineering. But I will say, I kind of viewed it as a part-time hobby. Because at the time, I had maybe a few hundred viewers, a couple hundred subscribers. I would get donations here and there. But the money was really inconsistent. And I didn't pursue it full-time at that time, simply because the money was inconsistent and it was very reliant on your viewers. Do they want to subscribe? Do they want to donate? And that was never something I felt comfortable like pushing onto people. It's like, if you want to, you will. And I didn't want my livelihood to depend on whether or not someone else, individuals around the world or whatever, individual people felt like giving me money. Although I appreciated that so much and the support, and especially as a broke college student, it made a huge difference. I'm just explaining why in my mind, I didn't take that leap of full-time streamer sooner. Around my second year, maybe halfway through, there started to be many more sponsors and brands who entered the space, and they would give you money for advertising their brand on your stream or posting underlays or overlays of their content and brand and whatever. And I finally got like a manager agent kind of, so I was getting deals through them, and that's when I was able to both see it as a more consistent stream of income, but also start seeing it as a potential career because it was more dependent on companies. And just in general, that income is not only more dependable, but I will tell you, content creators, unless they have huge paid subscription numbers, which is not the majority of them, most content creators make most of their money through sponsorships, almost always. Okay, good, pretty good rule of thumb. And this also means if you don't see someone post sponsors very much, they might not be making as much as you think they are. For example, people think I make like hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars every single month. I make millions every month. Girl, I wish. I have slowly accumulated savings and money over the years, but especially if you don't see me post a bunch of sponsors or do a lot of ad work, I'm not making a ton. I'm not streaming all the time. I'm not pushing for subscribers. I'm not doing subscriber goals. Those are the specific things that get people money. I'm not pushing people to paid subscription platforms. So you really have to think, like, where do we all think I'm making these millions from? That's not to say I don't make good money. But just to say, if you assume someone makes a certain amount of money every month, do the math. Where is it going to come from? You get what I mean? So yes, second year of university, And during that second semester, because I started getting more opportunities, I had the opportunity or the ability to actually take part-time classes. It wasn't like fully part-time. I just took one or two less classes than I usually would for an engineering degree so that I could still manage streaming, taking sponsors, etc. And then after my second year, I knew that if I went into a third year of engineering, the work would just be so much, you can't even have a part-time job when you're taking six engineering courses, you know? So I decided, you know what, let me do this streaming thing at least for 1 year. And I pitched it to my parents as worst case scenario, 1 year. You know, it's not that bad. It'll be like a gap year on my record. But even if it goes poorly, at least I'll save up some money and be able to pay off my college debt. And they were like, you know what, the math is mathing. We will allow you. And I ended up moving down to LA. Staying there for a few months, meeting streamer friends, and then I never went back. And I'm sure a lot of people have similar stories, actually. But for some people, they take that leap and it doesn't work out. We will get into that later too. But I'm mainly telling my story just to say I'm really, really glad that I viewed streaming and content creation as a hobby or a part-time job, and I kept my main thing, whether that's school or a full-time job, until my part-time side hustle thing started taking off. And then I frankly comfortably made that leap of faith with a safety net, with a backup plan, and that's what I recommend for everyone. Because if you want to make money as a content creator, you really should start with it as a hobby. Because the profit versus content margin is so big. Like, you need to make so much content in order to profit at any point whatsoever. It's just not going to be worth it for you unless you fucking love making content and you really want to do it and it doesn't feel like a job. Next up, let's discuss the biggest money-making platforms. Because the numbers you guys see online are so incorrect. Let me just tell you that much. I remember when I was like 22 or something, and my net worth on Google was 2 million. You want to know how much I had in the bank? 200K. My net worth on Google was 10 times what it really was. I remember what I wanted to say earlier, but I forgot. You guys also have to keep in mind that where someone lives impacts how much money they technically have a lot. And let me explain why, okay? Let's say I get an incredible $1 million deal. $1 million, okay? Coca-Cola says, hey, say you love our soda poppy and we'll give you $1 million. I say, I love Coca-Cola. Good. That sounded like NPC live streams. Good. But yes, let's say you get an insane $1 million deal, okay? If you live in California, if you live and reside in California, at least 10 to 20% of that $1 million is going to go to your agent or manager. Let's split it in the middle, 15%. $150,000 is going to your manager or agent, okay? So you have $850,000 left. And you're like, damn, that's still a shit ton of money. That goes to your bank account and half of it is going to taxes. So your $850,000 just turned to $4,025,000. So from a $1 million deal, you are making about $400,000, maybe. On top of that, do you have to pay editors? Do you have to pay staff on your team? Do you have to pay for the creative? Do you have to pay for whatever else you have to pay for, frankly, as a business? Because content creators and influencers oftentimes are a business. We have a team. We have people who help us. It is not a one-man job, thank God. So people don't oftentimes take into consideration the true entire calculation when it comes to how much money someone has made versus how much money someone actually has. If I were to ballpark, I probably have 30% of the amount of money that I've made in my career, in my lifetime career. Currently, I have 30%. Why? Taxes are taking 50%, and then another 10 to 20% for expenses. Paying other people, paying for rent, buying stuff for the job, whatever it is. So yeah, just putting that into perspective, because y'all be saying the craziest shit sometimes. And like, you're half right in the sense that maybe someone made that much money, but that is not how much they're taking home. Either way, of course, it's typically a lot of money though. So let's play a fun game called ranking every single social media based off of which one can make you the most money. This is based off of an average sized content creator, not extreme cases. Last place, number 4, TikTok. I hate to do it to them, but it's true. TikTok comes in dead last. There are content creators on TikTok with millions, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million followers who cannot make a full-time salary income off of TikTok. That might come as a shock to you guys, but people who actually are content creators might not really be shocked by that. And that's not to say that there aren't content creators who make really good money that come from TikTok, but they probably don't make most of their money on TikTok. They might make it on other social media platforms or mainly through brand deals, but for most TikTok creators, you're not making a bunch. You barely get paid out for millions of views. It's not easy to get good sponsorships. And creators mainly only profit when they leverage their TikTok audience onto other platforms and create more of a name for themselves. And then maybe brands take notice. But even then, it might be for sponsorships outside of TikTok and maybe some on. But you don't make much money off of the actual platform. I think a million views on TikTok gets you about $20. And it can take hours to edit a TikTok. However, even though it comes in dead last, it is the number one exposure tool for sure. And I know someone's going to say, oh my God, but you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars off of TikTok shop. That's not most people. That is an extreme edge case of like 1% of people, maybe. Number 3, Instagram. Instagram is similar to TikTok because you're not going to make a ton of money off of your short form content or reels. However, they also have posts and IG stories and frankly, just many more mediums through which you can monetize. So that's why I rank it above TikTok. On top of that, people do really respect and value a strong following on Instagram more than they do on TikTok. And by people, I mean brands. Number 2. Twitch. I rank Twitch second because Twitch has built-in ads on top of sponsored ads, quite a fair bit of sponsorships on Twitch, honestly. Subscriptions, also built-in, donations, merch. There are just a lot of avenues and streams of income when you're streaming. On top of that, people really like to follow their favorite streamers on other social media platforms, which then gives you other avenues to also profit. However, it is much, much more volatile and audience dependent than our number one choice, which is, in my opinion, YouTube. To me, YouTube is number one because it has built-in AdSense and their ads pay the best out of basically every platform. You can put ads on top of that, by getting a sponsorship for your video, you can sell merch, you can ask your viewers to follow you elsewhere and build a following elsewhere. Plus, every piece of content you make is in a way a long-term investment because someone can view that piece of content at any time and it can still make you money even years and years and years down the line. That's very common for YouTubers to still make like even a couple $100 off of popular videos that they had like 5 or 10 years ago, just because people are still watching them. Here are some more interesting things that you might not already know. For starters, on YouTube, the kind of content you make dictates how much you make. It's not just about how many views you get. For example, in the finance industry of YouTube, they make maybe twice as much as, for example, a gaming video. Like a million views about how to invest or the stock market might get you maybe $5,000, whereas a million views on a gaming video might get you $2,000, which obviously both are still a lot of money. But most people don't know that the kind of content is what impacts how much you're making, not just the viewership. You'll hear a lot of people on YouTube talk about CPM, and I believe it stands for cost per milli, which is basically the amount of money that you make off of not a million, but 1,000 views. I think a typical CPM on YouTube is about $18. So extrapolate that, let's say on a gaming video, which is what I said, like a million views would probably be about $2,000 or $1,800. But this is very much average. And then in certain industries, like finance, you could just make so much more. But let's compare that to, let's say, TikTok, where people say for 1,000 views, you might get 2 to 3 cents. And that's if you're in the creator program, which I'm actually not even. Not because I can't get into it. I just haven't bothered, to be honest. YouTube, $2,000 per 1 million views. TikTok, $20 per 1 million views. And I know that probably seems like a stark difference. And I mean, it kind of is, but do keep in mind, it's kind of easier to get views on TikTok than it is on YouTube, right? So in a way it makes sense, but it also kind of sucks because that doesn't mean that people are putting in less time and effort into their TikToks. You guys have seen some of these transformation videos, these cooking montages. They take hours to make and edit and perfect, and they don't even make the creator that much money on TikTok or Shorts. And that's why most people make most of their money off of sponsorships. And this is also why it's really important as a creator to differentiate between what's an exposure tool and what is a money-making tool. I think TikTok is the number one exposure tool because you can be viewed by so many people. You can really find niche communities and demographics, but you're not going to make that much money off of the content that you put there. Whereas on YouTube, it takes a lot more time, work, and effort to build up a community or to get viewership. But once you do, that is a big money-making tool. And also, there are a lot of platforms that are more classic money-making tools, like subscription-based platforms, Patreon, OnlyFans, etc. I didn't really factor those in for this episode or my rankings, because to me, those don't count as social media platforms. They are subscription platforms, which are kind of different, but are really important if you're ever thinking about like, wow, I wonder how much someone makes. Are they on a subscription-based platform? Because that impacts their income a lot. Also, Instagram is the absolute mecca of flexing fake wealth. I see so many people, girls and guys, flaunting a lifestyle that they either don't really have, can't really afford, or are financing in ways that they are not showing y'all. It's a little bit tea, and I hope no one takes offense to the tea I'm about to spill, but I am here to educate the masses, okay? I'm not trying to put anyone down. How you make your money is up to you, but it is very interesting to discuss in my humble opinion. For starters, there was a guy who was outed because he was flexing so much on Instagram, but it turns out he was making all of his money from scamming the very followers that he was flexing on. Mm-hmm. He had a brand that he would promote, and people would buy from this brand and never receive their items. Yeah. But he kept promoting the brand like, oh my God, and I'm going to put free shit in all the boxes and we're going to do this. And he was just scamming everyone. I think he ended up stalking and hurting someone too, but that's besides the point. It's a long story. But I think what you guys really want to hear about is perhaps we've all seen those girls on Instagram who seem to be in a new country every month. And you don't quite know what they're doing, and their bio maybe says some combination of model, influencer, something, something, but it's not very evident the exact work that they are doing in these countries. And listen, some of these ladies might be entirely legit. Maybe they are working. Who knows? I don't know for sure. But what I do know is that some of them are Dubai toilets. What is a Dubai toilet, you ask? A Dubai toilet is essentially a very attractive person who is flown out to hang out with oil princes, very, very rich men in Dubai. And there's typically a middleman of some sort who is scouting for these women and messaging them online. And I would compare it to maybe a form of escorting or maybe more. Again, no shade, just explaining what happens. And they will get flown out. But frankly, the expectation is for them to look good and to be willing to do anything that these men ask for. And when I say anything, I mean anything. I mean, if they ask you to be their toilet, you better open up. That's right. There have been many, 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 many stories of these women being treated as a toilet and having these very rich men poo poo pee pee on them in exchange for being flown out, being given lavish gifts, and living a very lavish lifestyle on social media. This is all to say, if you don't know where someone's lifestyle is coming from, again, guy or girl, do not assume that they are making that money from social media, unless they're a content creator, or unless you see them doing a bunch of brand deals or having a subscription-based platform or whatever, whatever. I think you guys get the gist now. Have you guys also heard of the fake private planes? That's right. In 2020, there were a bunch of influencers who were caught taking photos in private jets, you know, cheersing with their champagne, looking cool, hot, sexy. And it turns out those photos were all shot on a set. But essentially, these people would pay, let's say, $200 to go take photos on a private plane, post them on Instagram, and leave. They never actually flew anywhere. They never actually owned the private jet or went anywhere with it. It was all for the gram. Part of me kind of respects the hustle. But also, if you're looking at stuff online, just know most of it ain't real. Everyone's just trying to showcase a cool side to themselves or whatever. And it's really interesting to consider why. Why would you want to fake a certain lifestyle? Like, you don't actually have it either way. Like, do you just want people to think highly of you? If we've learned anything from the infamous Anna Sorkin, it's that sometimes when people think you have a lot of money, they give you a lot of opportunities, and sometimes for free. But I do think most of the time it catches up to you sooner or later, hopefully not in the form of jail like Anna Sorkin, but it's a possibility. So do be careful and do be skeptical of what you see online. Well, just how the accumulation of wealth shouldn't be the end-all be-all of all of our lives, and how that mindset often leads to people getting greedy, making bad decisions, promoting products they shouldn't, things like that. Kind of like what's right or wrong and ethical in terms of what you're posting on social media. But I think I have to save that for another day, mainly because my camera battery is dying. So we're going to end with a quick Q&A, speedrun, a lot of the stuff that you guys asked me. I kind of want to preface the Q&A with the question. A lot of people ask me about taxes, and I just want to say one thing. I am not a CPA. I am not going to give you guys tax advice because everybody's taxes is very, very different. And frankly, if you speak to different creators, they will tell you different things. Some will say, I write this off. I write that off. And some will say, I can't write this off. It depends on your CPA and the advice that they give you and what they allow you to write off, and praying the IRS doesn't audit you. Also, earlier when I spoke about the amount of money that a creator can make versus the amount of money that they take home, $1 million deal, but you're taking home $400,000. this is a big reason why so many creators go broke. And this is a big question I got. Like, why do some creators at some point, even after having insane careers, have no more money? It's because they start spending above their means and not, frankly, taking into consideration how much money they owe in taxes or the things that they need to pay out or budgeting whatsoever. And our industry has ups and downs like anything else. Maybe someone starts making a lot of money and thinks that that's going to last forever. So they start spending a lot of money and then it catches up to them. The deals aren't flowing as much. The expenses add up. End of year taxes roll around and boom, they're in debt. It's really not great, but this is why financial literacy is so key and so important, especially because all these people live in LA, California, where the taxes are 50% in the tax bracket that they're probably in. So I really wanted to get that out of the way because I just felt like it might give you guys big insight into how these things happen. Do sponsors bring in more money in comparison to regular ads? 100% and by a lot. A YouTube video could make, let's say, as I said before, 1 million views, 2,000 in ads through YouTube, but you could make 50,000 off of a sponsor, maybe even more, maybe less. It depends on the person, it depends on the sponsor, but you can make like a multiplier of that much just by sponsoring your videos. Do you reach out to sponsors or do they come and find you? Both. You can reach out and the sponsor can come and reach out to you. I think a good agent will do a healthy mix of both. They will see at your inbound emails and deals. And if there's a brand that they really know that you want to work with, then they might go and pitch an idea to them or ask them if they want to work with you. Either one, frankly, can work. How come some small creators live off social media and some don't? Great question. I have a lovely friend who has like 500,000 followers on Instagram and does like shorts and all this stuff, but she cannot make enough money off of that content. And she just has like a full-time job, which is good for her, obviously. But just that, I feel like a lot of people would see 500,000 followers on Instagram and be like, they're probably making hundreds of thousands of dollars. That is not always the case. Some creators just have a better money-making model than others. Some are better at reaching out, getting brand deals, creating a portfolio and like resume for themselves to say, hey, I worked with these people, I did these ads, so I can do this for you. If you're just a creator who's making content and not thinking about the income and just waiting for it to come to you, you're probably not going to have as much luck as someone who is a go-getter and is going and getting. On top of that, some people are better at monetizing their audience and maybe creating a Patreon and telling their supporters, hey, if you want to subscribe, I can give you these benefits if you get a subscription to my Patreon. That's what I mean by monetizing your audience or creating some sort of money-making structure within your business and content creation. Honestly, there's so much I could go into this about like I'm tough. There's really just so much. So if you guys are dying for another episode, do let me know. How much does a sponsor pay? It depends on so many factors. It depends on the sponsor, their budget, the industry they come from, as well as you. Obviously, it depends on your size, the views that you get, how does your sponsored content perform. Just, I guess, for some perspective, when I was still a part-time streamer in university, I got a $200 monthly sponsor. That's right. Every month they paid me $200. And I was so happy. I remember I had to print out the contract that they had me sign. I had to run to my university library. I had to sign it and then I had to scan it and email it back to them. They were like a European country or something. And I had their little banner under my stream. I had their banner on my stream. I was wearing their stuff and I was paid $200 every month. And I was really, really happy. Of course, you know, you're a broke college student. Girl, I'll take $20. Let's go. And I mean, at this point in my career, I have done sponsors for $200,000, even just one-offs. And I am not saying that to brag. I'm so lucky. I've also worked really hard to get to that point. I have done a lot of resume builders to show brands the value that I can bring to their company, what I can do, how well I can promote their product. And this is just to say, whether you're starting off at $20, $200, whatever it is, you can make it so, so, so far. Especially as long as you love the content that you're making and you're being mindful of these things. Okay, I'm going to end with a funny story. The question is, what is the biggest offer you turned down? And I'm sorry, I can't quite recall. Oh, I can recall the biggest offer, but I can't tell you guys that story just yet. Because it involves other people. It's big, big T. That I cannot say without other people's consent. So we'll have to save that story for another day. But I will tell you a very funny story. About 4 or 5 years back, a monitor company approached me. They wanted me to promote their monitor. And they were willing to pay me about $50,000 for something like, I think, a sponsored stream or maybe a sponsored video, something of the like. And I asked them because I never promote something without trying it first. That is a baseline rule of mine, always has been. I don't want you guys to ever get a product that I promote and you try it and you're like, this is ass. Because then you won't trust me and I don't think it's fair to you. I don't want to waste your guys' money. So I asked them, can you please send me your monitor? And the monitor was maybe like $300 to $500. And I was like, please send me your monitor. I'll try it out for a week. If I like it, we can do the sponsorship. And they said no. And I said, what do you mean no? And they're like, we don't want to like send you the monitor. Can you just do the ad read ASAP? And I said, no, I have to try it. Can you maybe expedite it if you want it done by a certain date? And I can at least try it for a day or two and then I'll accept. And they refused. And they upped the amount of money that they were willing to pay me too. And I declined them. I said, hell no. If you're not willing to let me try your $500 monitor, but you're paying me $50K for an ad read, that makes no sense in my mind. Like, I was low-key scared they were trying to scam you guys. So just out of precaution, I said, no siree, no siree. And I passed. No regrets. All right. I'm so sorry. My battery's at 1%. And I think it would be so weird if my camera cut off in the middle of the thing. But to influencers, please do your research on products. Know what you're supporting. Know what you're pushing. Don't go in blind. I know everybody makes mistakes and we can only do as much due diligence as we can do, but do it. And to consumers, influencers and content creators oftentimes wind up being vehicles of marketing and promotion. That's not a bad thing, and they can still promote really good products, especially if you trust them. But you do need to understand that people are selling you in a way so that they can make money too. So don't be afraid to be picky. Don't be afraid to look into whether something is worth your money, whether you typically like the products that a person promotes, those kinds of things. Be picky with your money because you worked hard for it. If you listened all the way through, thank you so much. And if you enjoyed it, please hit the follow button on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this, because it's the easiest way to know when a new episode is live. And if you're feeling extra generous, rate us 5 stars, please, 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 because it helps our community grow. It would mean the world. I have been loving doing the podcast. I'm not gonna lie, I still kind of get nervous getting on mic and I'm like, what if I mess up? What if the episode is bad? But I know it's a learning process and I really appreciate everyone who's along for the ride and the journey. And I've been loving our community so far. If this episode was of interest or you think might be interesting to anyone that you know, feel free to share it with them. I think financial literacy, financial transparency is really, really, really important because there's a lot of people trying to take advantage of others for not understanding some of these things. So we need to educate each other. All right, I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.